Welcome also. If you hadn't been here in so long that I think you're a guest, I'm glad you came back. I don't know any in that category. I got one more thing to say before getting into that last part of the service. After service, right after, we're going to set these out. I didn't want to do it now, be kind of a distraction perhaps. We're doing this a little earlier, like we were supposed to do it earlier the other years. But it's Christmas for Christ. These are for North American missions churches. We've always done phenomenal. It blew my mind last year. I don't remember what the offering was, but it was one of the largest ever. But that's a great way to do it. You find an envelope. These are really the best ones. The blessing is in these, the $100 ones. But they go from $1 up to something beyond this perhaps. But they'll be set up here in their denominations afterwards, and you can grab them. You don't want to be, you don't want to let them get away from you, because these will go quick. So you don't want to get up here and grab these hundreds and 99s and 98s. Anyway, God bless you for that. I'm going to read a scripture, and then we're going to pray, and then when you can be seated. But I want to go to Psalm 61 and 2. And then 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. It's good to have a lot of the Esther's family here. I got to eat with them on Thanksgiving. That was a treat. My wife got to eat with her family, her mom and dad and her brother, and that was really neat. And I missed her a lot, but I didn't mind because they were so shocked that she showed up with her brother. They didn't expect it, but it was good. It's good to have everybody here. That if you're here shocking somebody, good to have you here. Amen. Good to have Brother and Sister Crouch. Good to see them. Amen. So many visitors and guests here, and it's all good. Psalm 61 and 2. From the end of the earth, I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, and it's easy to see that we will get involved often in crying out to the Lord when our heart is overwhelmed. We understand that. But he then says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me, Lord, to a place that's higher than where I am right now. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. We're being changed from one place, one level of glory to another, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the working of His Spirit that draws us, that changes us, that raises us from one level to another level. And ever since I began to pray about this message earlier in the week, the word that just stuck out to me from the very moment I began to ask God to give me something to say, the word levels was all I could get to. And really, this life living for God is about levels. I don't want to remain on one, but I want to realize if I'm on one, then there's another one higher. There's another one higher, and I want to get to those levels. Father, we ask today that you would bless us with an understanding in our own personal lives today of what we are to do and how we are to ascend and go to that next place. Father, you have a plan. We thank you, Father, for that individual plan you have for every life, every individual here. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the greatest blessings of serving God is the fact that we are not only allowed, but we're encouraged to go from one level to another. The Lord is not content to leave you where you were when you were born, but He wants to grow you and challenge you to come to a higher place. Jesus raised some people to life. He took the dead, and He met a woman outside the gate of her town, a woman that didn't have much. And the son she did have was now being born on the shoulders of some. And they were marching out to the cemetery to bury her son. And Jesus stopped the procession. He didn't ask questions about, because he knew everything. But he stopped the procession. And they set that, they called it the bier down, the thing that they bore him on. And he picked that boy up and just took him by the hand and said, get up. And that body came to life. And what a joy for that mother that was at the very depth of despair, lower than she perhaps had ever been. We understand she was a widow. Their husband, she perhaps had already gone through this before. It may not have been her only child to die. But he took her lowest point and turned it completely upside down and put her from her lowest level up to the highest that she had ever thought she could be. And she walked home with her son. Instead of burying him, she went home and she celebrated with him. And spiritually, that's what happens to you when God fills you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He takes a dead body, and you may not know you're headed to a grave and headed to despair, but he takes somebody that's dying and he turns you around, fills you up, and gives you potential. It's up to you what you do with that potential. Some people let it lie dormant, and some people go on to great things, but he raises you up to walk in a new life. It is the greatest thing. We don't say it's great because we're just trying to get you pumped up. Friend, I want to tell you, there is nothing like the life of living for God in the power of the Holy Ghost. It is the greatest plan that there is. Now, some hand claps, some amens, because some of you know what I'm talking about. But if you have received the Holy Ghost and you don't have that joy, this sermon is for you. If you have received the Holy Ghost and you do have that joy, this sermon is for you. It's just different. You're going to put it in the glove box and you may need it later. But if you haven't had joy in a while, if you've had disappointment or your prayers haven't been answered or you seem to be in a holding pattern, this sermon is for you. In other words, this is for everybody, I'm hoping. I hope it's for me too, because I need to hear it. Amen. I've already heard parts of it. I've heard parts of it. I've had some start and stops. I've threw some things out. I've added some things in. And then I said, Lord, whatever, just let your will be done. I'm in constant need, really, of that rock. That he would lead me to that rock that's higher than I am. I need to go to the rock that's higher, not the one that's lower. Have you ever had a friend give you some advice? They want to encourage you. And before they're done, you both are at their low level. They bring you down from where you are. You ever had that happen? Ever had somebody, you show up on a new job, and before they get through talking to you, that employee you've never known before, they get through talking, you wish you hadn't even come in for the interview? You're going to hate this place, I tell you right now. Hadn't even got my first paycheck, and I already want to leave. I've been there before. You need a new level. You need somebody else that's higher than you to pull you up. You hang around with people in ditches, you're going to end up in a ditch. That's just a fact of life. They'll talk like a ditch dweller. They'll act like a ditch dweller. They use language like a ditch dweller. And pretty soon you're going to be down there in the ditch going, yeah, this is pretty comfortable, really. You get used to the water after a while. You know what? Your body adjusts to it. The varmints and all the fish and the crawdads and stuff, you know, it's all right after a while. You know, when I was a boy, as most boys are this way and some girls, I loved anything where water was or where water had been, a creek bed that was dry. That's where we used to ride our bikes, funnest place ever. But boys like to go to places where there's water. And if you don't have one by your house, when it rains, water rushes down. In our house, in our neighborhood, we had big high curbs. And so the water would rush down those curbs. And sometimes it would be such a gusher, it would be halfway out into the middle of the street. And in that storm, you could look down the road and there would be friends and myself. And we'd be laying in the water and letting that water rush over us. They say you can get worms that way. Trust, they say you can. I don't know. Don't remember if I ever got worms, but I sure got a few baths laying out in the curb before. Mom, look out and just shake your head. What are you going to do? Say, dry off and run back out there. She don't want me in the house. So it's just like, don't get struck by lightning, son. I'll look for it, Mom, and when it happens, I will dodge out of the way of lightning. We're constantly being changed, constantly being developed, challenged into God's image from glory to glory. And I want to jump the gun on one of my points, just in case you may be prone to checking out a little early. I just want to make this point. Don't get into that place where you remove yourself from God's equation and think you don't matter. All right. I'm just an observer. I'm a marginal person. I'm out here. Y'all go ahead. I'm just checking it. Don't be that person. But let me tell you something. Every one of you are important to the kingdom of God. If you haven't found your place, you're going to find it if you seek God with all your heart. But don't ever discount yourself and say, I'm not like them. If you only knew. Look, I don't need to know anything. I understand. I've been around. I know what can happen in people's lives. But I also know that we can discount ourselves and put a half-off sticker on the back of our head and think we're worth nothing. But God died for you also. But you just need a new level. You just need to be bumped up to the level you're supposed to be at and learn to live for God like somebody that knows Him as a King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Understanding levels is very important. And God is always working to take you. I'm talking to everybody here. He's working to take you to a higher plateau, always. He's not wanting to take you into a low place. Here's the deal. You can go through a valley and God can lift you up. See, a valley can be your high place. It's not about elevation. It's about where you are in relation to the will of God and into His power. So you can be down in the valley and not understand the fact that He has lifted you up for that valley because you was on a mountaintop, but it might have been a mountain of your own making. But when God takes you off of those high, lofty places of pride, He'll take you down to a higher place in Him because you're going to get more good out of the valley than you were your mountain that you thought you were supposed to be on. Saw a picture the other day, and it was an article about the people that have died on Mount Everest trying to ascend. Usually they died descending on the descent. It's where most people die. And they said it's very common, and they showed pictures of these bodies that were just encased in the snow, and they make up names for these people. They have their names, and they're marked on the maps. They said, you'll see Mr. Green Boots, and it's the guy with the green boots, and they're there. The way they fell, that's where they are, because they froze, and they'll never change. It's this, you know, that's where they'll be. And so they're markers and they're warning signs to others that are trying to come down the mountain. We have to be careful with our levels. We have to be careful and understand it's by the grace of God that I'm here. It's not because I'm brave or I'm good or I'm perfect or wonderful. It's because by God's grace I am today what I am. God's word will not return void. Realize that a sermon that is preached, a lesson that is taught, it will accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. But I've got to submit myself to the working of his sermons and of the lessons and so that I can be brought to my level. A person that misses a lot of church frustrates pastors. I'm talking about me as a pastor. I'm just in a roundabout way getting that point across. The reason it's frustrating is because, and let me just throw this out there. I think I said this the other day. I stole it from another pastor that said it, but it's true, so I'm using it. But everything that people need to talk about, that need counseling about, has been dealt with in a sermon. I don't mind talking to you, but I just want to tell you, everything that we discuss, everything that you have issues with has been dealt with from across a pulpit, preached under hopefully an anointing of God. Amen. But we don't find our level because, well, I wasn't there that day. Was service good? It was a wonderful service. Where were you? Well, I wasn't feeling real good. And I know there are reasons for us not to be here. I had a reason last week. Got a note from my mom that I couldn't be. Well, you know, I was with family. You get that. But we're talking about those times when it's just habitual missing and missing and missing. And I know before long, we're going to be talking about some issues. Why? You weren't here. You weren't here. God had your number. God had a letter for you. God had advice for you. And He was going to take you to another level. But you can't go to a level when you didn't get the map of how to get there. And what happens is we start trying to put ourselves up to a level that we think we should be because we see somebody up there we know, but by the grace of God, we're not going to get there. We're going to do it by human means, and we're going to end up being somebody's benchmark or somebody's mile marker when they see us laying there and saying, there's one that thought they were doing the right thing. We got to understand levels is brought to you by God. He lifts you up. He raises one up and puts another down, the Bible said. His word won't return void. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. 2 Peter 3:17 says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." We must learn this, to grow in the grace that is the power of God working in us. The favor of God putting us where we need to be on the level that we're supposed to be at. Grow in grace.
All right.
I've got to go back to this statement again. When we easily find a reason not to be in the house of God,
yeah,
we're going to miss the instructions that we needed for where God's will wanted to put us.
Right.
You can find every kind of reason.
Sure.
Years ago, we had a young man that fell into some terrible abuse. And his dad came to me and said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "You're asking the pastor, that's me, and I'm going to tell you, do not miss a Sunday." And I won't go into the details of this, but let me tell you something. That young man needed to be in church.
Yes.
It would have saved his soul.
Yes.
I said, "Sir, don't miss a Sunday and don't miss a Wednesday. I don't care about homework. It's more important that his soul is saved."
That's right.
Than if he's popular at school.
Right.
Or that he plays ball. You first put God first. And this is not something that I gave the whole church, and it's a good advice. But for this particular situation, trust me, this young man did not need one Sunday to miss. Well, he said, "I appreciate your time. I appreciate that advice." And he came back to me later. He goes, "Guess what I did? I signed him up. This is really what I think is going to help him. I signed him up to a martial arts class." I said, "Do you think that's the answer?" "Well, yeah. He's always wanted to be." And it's also toughening him up. The boy didn't need to be tough. He needed to be in the presence of God.
Amen.
Because the presence of God, you know, God's all about men being men and women being women. Trust me. So you'll get what you need. The catch, Pastor, is he can't be here on Sundays, ever. I said, "Well, nice knowing him." "What do you mean?" I said, "He won't be here very long." "Oh, Pastor, no, we love this church." I said, "Thank you." I prayed for him. And there he went. Out of the church. And the last thing I heard, that boy went as far and deep into sin as I thought he would go and hoped he wouldn't, because the dad missed his level. It doesn't matter what kind of note you write of the excuse you're going to try to hand in for staying out of the will of God. There are just some things that God will do that you don't understand how He's going to do it, but He can do it. But you got to wait on Him to lift you up to your level.
All right.
There are people in every congregation, and I know we have some here. My heart hurts for you that you've been hurt in churches. You've been hurt by men of God. I understand that those things happen. But I want to tell you, if you'll just wait on God,
yes,
serve Him faithfully, healing will come to you.
Yes.
Healing will come to you. He will set you up to a level, and maybe no one else knows you're there, but in that level He will begin to heal you, and the wounds will heal, and the hurt will be made right again. You're in a safe church. This is a good place. You're not going to be hurt in this place, but you've got to let God be God. You've got to let His will be done and let Him put you at that right level where you belong. There's a reason for the blessing. There's a reason for the level that God has shown you. But when you look back, you're going to be looking down, not up. You're going to be saying, that's where I was. That's where I was. Went to Six Flags with a couple of my cousins one time. And I don't know, I asked them, I said, "I'm going to do this or that." And they didn't want to do it. I said, "I'll find y'all." And I looked around, all of a sudden they're gone. It's a busy place, Six Flags. You know, you've probably been to those theme parks. And I knew one of my cousins had a red, white, and blue shirt on. It was popular in 1976 because, you know, bicentennial. Everybody remember that? Everybody had stars and stripes. So I went over to the oil derrick, they call it. It's a big tower Six Flags has in Arlington there in Texas. And I went on the elevator, and it's a big tower. You go up, and I can see the tower from my house. So it was tall. And I got up there on that tower, and I just started looking around, and I found him. I saw which way they were walking. I realized when I go down, I got to go out this way. And I jumped in the elevator, went down, and I took off running. And they weren't far from where they were when I saw them before. But the reason I was able to see them is I got a better vantage point. When you get up on the right level, you can see things as they really are. And it can tell you where you are. But you've got to go through the process of saying, Lord, set me up in that place. I realize staying at the same level can cause some to... Now listen to this. You've been there a while. We've been there. I've been at the level before when I'm thinking, surely God, my lease has run out. But you've been there so long that you will start to spiritualize non-spiritual things.
All right.
Now listen. They may, at that level, begin to make some mundane things into accomplishments because they're like, I've been here so long, nothing's happening to me. I know people that are flying high and they're doing great, and I'm at this same level. Now, we can be at a level because we're not challenged, or we can be at a level because that's just where God wants to work on us at.
All right. Yeah, all right.
How do I know I'm on a level? It's just you're doing the same thing day in and day out. And sometimes that's not a bad thing. Being faithful is not a bad thing. Here's the thing. I learned this even as a young person. In my church, I've told you a lot about my church. It was a great church, great pastor, greater man than I ever knew he was. But in my church, the youth group was not always really big. When my wife met me at the church and her dad preached for us, she asked me, who's the youth? And I said, right here. Glad to meet you. I'm the youth group. It fluctuated. Next Sunday, we may double. And we did. There's times we'd double. We would triple in number. Our youth group would. And we had great fellowship. 100% participation most of the time. And so the youth group took her and her brother out to eat every time we could. And the whole youth showed up. All three of us was there. And it was fun. But being in that church taught me some things. And I realized that all that we had going on sometimes was to show up on a Sunday and hear the preaching and worship with the singing and let it affect me and apply it as much as I could to my life. All I could do was wait till Tuesday and come back Tuesday night for Tuesday Bible study and come to church and worship and hear the teaching and let it impact my life and go home and come back on Thursday, another midweek service, and hear the Bible study and let it impact my life and go home and try to demonstrate what the Word of God said and come back on Sunday and do it over again. I did that for many, many years of my life, and it wasn't always exciting, but I learned that it's that same drumbeat of day in and day out. Be faithful like your mom and dad is. Just keep going to church. Don't look around for something else when you know this is where God has put you. And I learned how to stay at that level, and in that church, God was able to bring me from one place to a higher place to a higher place. And I want to tell you right now, it doesn't matter how many is in your church. It's what about you've got in your heart. If you've got the Word of God and you let God lead you, you're going to do all right wherever you are. But you got to wait on God to put you at the level. And He'll take you there and He'll challenge you there. Sometimes I know I'd go to youth camp and I'd see all these kids from these other churches with their name on their shirt, and man, they're everywhere. And I thought, oh, if I could only be like that one. Big old bus pull up, Irvington UPC from Houston, and that big old, I mean, a Silver Eagle bus stops, and doors open, and just like a flood of young people come out. I'm like, wow, what would it be like to be on that bus? And, you know, in my thinking was, I wonder how many girls are in that church. Got to be loaded. I rode to youth camp in the back seat. You know, when I was a kid, my pastor took me, just me. Then 1 year, it doubled, and we had me and Daryl. Next year is me and my cousin Marlon. That was the crowd we had. And then buses, and I just think, oh, what it would be like. But you know, God had me in the church I needed to be in. Right there. Because in that little church of right about 75 people, day in and day out, I was able to hit my levels. Not me, the Word of God, the fellowship, the prayer of people, my prayer life, their prayer life. You can do this anywhere. It happens all over the world. Doesn't matter where the church is, what language they speak. We're going to go from level to level to level. Dynamics. It's the process of change or activity in a progress. It's the difference between the start and the possible end of a process or point of change. And they call that dynamic. The range is called dynamic range. There's certain sound equipment, you know, there's a range of dynamics where sound is, you know, where it's perfectly pure. There's a certain range to it, the loud and the soft. And so, you know, 1 to 10, 0 to 60, whatever your measurement might be. Sometimes if we settle for very little progress, we can easily begin to feel accomplished with a very small range of change. I want to make this point clear. You know, we easily give sometimes to a cause that we know that will benefit us, and that's okay, we do that. You know, if your rich uncle shows up at a gathering, you know, at Thanksgiving or something, he got an ugly tie on, you're probably going to say, that's awesome. That's a beautiful tie you got there. You know, be careful, you'll get one like that, you know, next month for Christmas. But we tend to gravitate to things that we know the range could be greater. And the thing is, when our world closes in and the difference between good and great is very small, the range is very small, dynamic range. If we begin to think small, then the range gets smaller. Amen. Let me just give you an example. If I were to get up tomorrow and I would begin to start my prayer, and I'd usually do that before coffee, because somehow coffee in the morning, I don't think as clearly once I have it. You may think more clear. I can't hardly read after I've drunk coffee. I'll be reading the Bible and I'll be through two chapters and don't even know what I read because I've been doing something else. Go back, reread it. It takes me forever. So, before I drink coffee, it's my time with the Lord. So if I get up in the morning and I look at the clock and, you know, I say, well, it's 6. I do time my prayers. Why? Because sometimes I think I've prayed 45 minutes and it's been 4 to 5 minutes. Yeah. So if I don't put a time on it, then I'll be down to 4 or 5 minutes thinking, I prayed this morning. Lord, I've done everything I know for this whole year. I've prayed faithfully every day, almost every day. You know, not the weekends, but every day I prayed 4 to 5 minutes. And why is my life not moving? All right. So I time it just to be sure I pray enough. I think we all should, you know, have that kind of a discipline to watch, make sure our prayer life, because the thing is, when I'm managing it and saying, well, you know, I'm going to pray where I think I've prayed enough, it's the I part that's the trouble, because we'll pat ourselves on the back and say, you've done great. You deserve a prize. You deserve your second cup. And so if I wake up tomorrow and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to pray from 6 to 6:06, maybe 6:07. I'm going to pray to almost 10 after. I'm going to pray almost 10 minutes. 10 minutes is not a long time for me to pray, y'all. Wouldn't you love it if your pastor went everywhere preaching some sort of, you know, in seminars saying, you know, 7 minutes a day, you can pray. It catches on, and I write books, and you know, everybody, you know, it'd probably be popular because people would like the 7-minute deal. But there's a point where that 7 minutes is not going to get me a whole lot of change and victory in my life. The range gets smaller. And then I don't have great victories to tell you about, and so I'm having to borrow stories from somebody else all the time and try to make them sound genuine, and I'm having to try to make excuses for my trips and my failures, and I'm getting up and brushing myself off because I've got this big 7-minute thing going on. What begins to happen is I begin to take normal things and make them into great victories. And before long, I'm coming here saying, let me tell you, folks, I went down to the mailbox. I put the key in and I opened it up. And I got them envelopes out and I shut it. And I turned that key. And on the first try, I locked that mailbox back up. And I walked back to my house. I didn't suffer anything. I didn't fall. I didn't stumble. I made it back inside my house. It's 2 houses down to the mailbox. Can you say, praise the Lord, that I went to the mailbox and came back? That's funny. That's funny. But if I stop praying, I'm going to be celebrating the mailbox trip. Woo! T-shirt, everything. Went to the mailbox, didn't fall. Because I don't have anything else to give God praise about. I would lose my victory and my testimony. And before long, we start making victory out of things that are mundane and saying, I thank God, as many people used to in church, I want to thank the Lord for keeping me through another day. That was a testimony back when we had testimony service. That's kind of why we don't have them anymore. That and many other things. And don't let me get sidetracked on testimony stories. As a child, I used to think, oh, please, not this again. Oh, Lord, if I ever pastor a church, this will not be what we do. Well, I started pastoring, and sure enough, we did. Because we had been doing it. And a lady stood up one time and did like this. This is the last testimony service we had. And she's doing like this. I'm not making this up. And I'm going, what in the world? I didn't know, because she was a little off, or you know, just a little strange. Didn't know if she'd been picking her nose. And she smiled and she went, you know, my cat. That's what she said, my cat. It's brown, but it's not just a brown cat. Right here in my hand, I have a little hair from my kitty. It's not just one color. She said, it's 4 colors. It might have been 5. I don't know. I stopped listening because I'm up here and I'm going, because I'm wanting to bust out laughing and I'm trying not to. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I just went ahead and just, I think I just started laughing. Yeah. I wish I could have. I tried to maintain. And I'm up there going, is she really testifying about the glory of her cat? And the one before that was about a lemon and a grapefruit, and I won't tell you her story about that. But I told my wife, I said, that's the last time, because that's not a testimony. But her life began, please don't judge me on this, it was just, I was a young pastor, but her life was very small until that was news to her. And to me, it was just funny, as it is to some of you. If you feel that I've been unjust to her, I'll give your address. Y'all can be pen pals. You can talk to her. See how it goes. I'm talking about when the dynamics close in. And you're no longer experiencing victory because there's no battles, because I can't have a battle because I don't have the ability to sustain myself when temptation comes. So there's nothing happening and I'm just stuck in that place. You need a new level when you get there, and it can be had by saying, I am going to start praying again. I'm going to start pouring my heart out to the Lord like I never have again, and I'm going to get into the Word of God like I never have again, and I'm going to be something I have never been until God lifts me up to another level. Can you say praise the Lord? I'm talking about another level. We need to say, God, I pray that you move on me, and Lord, that you challenge me and you lift me to a place where I have to move forward and upwards and forwards and upwards so that I can live for you in a brand new plane, a brand new level. Oh, Lord, I pray, help us in Jesus' name. I tell you what, if I settle for very little progress, I'll easily begin to feel accomplished with very small things. Oh, Lord, give us real testimonies. Give us real battles that we can have real victories. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 7. This is about Paul, and this is about Apollos. Of course, it's about Jesus. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you're not able. For you are still carnal. That means you're led by your flesh.
Right.
You're still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? You see, what Paul is saying is, you don't need to behave like that out there. You're supposed to be acting like this in here.
Right.
He was saying, you don't seem like you've been changed anymore.
Right.
You're starting to act like that out there, but in here, there's a different level. He said, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? That's all we are. He said, we're just the ministers that tell you how to live for God. He goes, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. It is an act of God that gives you the increase, that raises you up to the next level that you need to be in. You hear the preaching, you hear the teaching, but God is the one that's going to put you on that next level. Amen. The question is often asked, have you ever been asked this, who's your favorite preacher? You know, if you're around the pastor or his wife, you always say, Brother McGuire's my favorite preacher. That's what we're supposed to say. But then you go, well, but you know, my second favorite, and you know, you can go on from there. And I can probably, you know, give you two or three of my top four, three or four. But it really depends on where I am at the moment.
Right.
Somebody may say, where's your favorite restaurant? Well, there's a time or two that Chick-fil-A is right there at the top. Not Sundays, but other days. They make me a little irritated when we're Sunday night, like, hey, let's run by Chick-fil-A. And we both are in the same mind, one accord, and get there and go, oh, Sunday, they don't work. Well, you hate to feel bad for that, but at the same time, Taco Bell never did that. Anyway, let me help us, Lord. Brother Jeremy Joyce was here 2 weeks ago. And y'all were here and preached to our children. It was awesome. I appreciate our adults helping us with that. And the kids, do you know what it would be like to be a child and think, they did a service for me? The children. It was, and that they will never forget that, and we'll do it again. But I talked to him after church. We went out to eat. And he's a wonderful man. Him and his family are away from here just like they're genuine people. And I said, I know that Lloyd Squires is your mentor. Anybody here know who that is? Some of you know Lloyd Squires. He's also called the King's Clown. The King's Clown. He does a lot of kid camps. He preaches revivals. He preached at the church we were at in Texas before we came here. And just the church, he preached the whole church. And just a great man. I've heard one of his sermons on my phone, one of them apps, a couple of years ago, and just, oh, it was amazing, the testimony that he has. But he loves clowns, and of course he's a clown, dresses up like one, and he's sort of in the retirement mode. So I asked Brother Joyce, I said, oh, you're connected to him. I said, how did that happen? He said, well, my mother, you know, moved to St. Louis, worked for TWA, I believe, Airlines, and at the time he said, and so we rented his basement. And so I told him, I said, I would like to learn everything from you. He said, so when I was old enough to drive, I became his driver. And he said, for 20 years, I've toured with him, watching everything he does. And I remember, began to ask me about South Florida, and I knew where he was going with it. And you remember that church down there? I said, yeah, and the church that we started now is located where he used to go, the same property that he used to go to, and where he got the Holy Ghost. And he said, my dad was Buddy. I said, I know your dad. We knew your dad. And my wife and I were talking about this. We remember the day that we got the news that his father had died. And our preacher from 2 weeks ago, he was just a little lad at that time. And he was proud of that. You could tell he was proud of his dad, and we talked about him. And I said, you know, I'm glad, really, what you've done is to come under the wing of Brother Squires. I said, I heard him talk about his story. It's a lot different than Brother Joyce's story. But I won't go into great detail, but I want to share this one thing with you that Brother Squires talks about. Brother Squires was, he was left alone. He was abandoned when he was about 4. His mother left him in the house. And there he was in a locked house, little shack, by a railroad track. He said, just alone. And he said, no food. You know, it ran out quick. He said, I just wake up and go to sleep, wake up and go to sleep. He goes, and I remember I couldn't hardly move just from just being hungry. And I was about to starve to death. He said, I'm laying on the floor, just staring, looking at the door, laying in the living room area, just laying there. He said, and I heard the door open, and I could see a little bit. He said, the black boots of a fireman walked in there. And he said, I couldn't move, but that fireman knelt down and picked me up. He said he had that coat on, that fireman's uniform and those boots. He said, and he walked out, and he said, he saved my life. He said, and to this day, I love firemen, and I love children. He goes, I love firemen. He went on to tell his story, and the Lord touched him in many ways, and after he got to be an adult, the Lord put a hand on him, and he got to see his sister, who was very mentally challenged. He went and got her from a home and brought her to church, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just God has been merciful to that man. And I was sharing this with my wife. I said, it's just amazing to me that God took a man like that and he went all over the nation preaching to children and through children preaching to the adults. I said, but then the impact that he's had on Brother Joyce, we got to see that. And he said, 20 years, I allowed his life to affect me. And what you could truly say today is, Brother Squires hit some great levels, but then he turned and he began to pour that out into Brother Joyce. And what you saw, the passion of Brother Joyce 2 weeks ago, was passion born of a man who went through things that he didn't have to go through. But the passion is there. The gift is there. My parents went through things that I don't have to go through because they came into the church before I was born and they taught me and they let me sit on a pew and listen to a preacher, and that preacher taught me how to go from one level to another and not go back out into the world so that I could come in with some testimony of that kind of salvation. I love testimonies about all that. Trust me, it's wonderful. But I'm thankful today that I was able to be taken by the Word of God and carried from level to level. I didn't do everything right. Who does? But thank be to God today that I was able to be preserved to a point that I didn't go out there and get me some weird testimony. I'm grateful today for the mercy of my God. I'm thankful for what He has done for us today. Oh, Lord, it doesn't really matter who your favorite preacher is, as long as he preached that, the preaching that he does moves you. That's the main thing. We got to be moved and challenged by preaching. I'm coming to a close. Moses went up higher than the elders. You may have read the account in Exodus. The Israelites, they saw a pillar of fire at night if they chose to look out of their tent. That column was above the tabernacle. And in the morning when they woke up, and they would look at that column of smoke or that cloudy column, and they would see it above the tabernacle. And if it was shifted over to the east a little bit, then they knew we're going to load up and we're going to be moving to the east. If it was to the south, they'd move to the south. But when that column moved, it meant get ready. And then it would start moving and they would follow it. And when it stopped, they put that tabernacle underneath the column. And that told them where they were going to be for a while. And it might be days, it might be weeks or months, but they had to stay there until the column. That was the presence of God. And the Lord was saying, you move when I move, but you stop when I stop, because I'm taking you through levels. I'm trying to teach you some things, because that was our schoolmaster, Paul said, leading us to Christ. And when you go back and see their struggles, you realize that's what the blood of Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost gives us the ability to step over, is the pitfalls that they faced. And we can follow not the rock that is Christ, but we have the Spirit in us to lead us and guide us to all truths, to every level, to every place that we need to be in the Lord. And I want to thank God for that today. He takes the elders, and Moses said, the Lord's instructed me to go up to the mountain, and I want to take all you elders. And he said, y'all can come up to this level. He said, Aaron, you come here, or rather, Joshua, you come here, and we're going to stay right here. And he said, I'm going to go on up there, but don't come up to that level. That's for me and God. God said, don't let them come up higher. He said, y'all stay here. He went up there, and for 40 days, he was with the Lord. 40 days. The Lord gave him all the instructions that he needed of the law and the tabernacle. And the Lord told him, you need to get on down now. You need to go down. Got to be careful going down. But the Lord said, the people have kind of messed up a little bit. They're not doing the way they should. You need to go down there and get a hold of the people. And he went down there, and there they were playing, the Bible said, screaming and shouting. The people, it said, had rose up to play, and that's a very kind way of putting what they did. But it was one of the most vile sins as they began to dance around a golden calf. And you know what their problem was? Is they didn't have their preacher. They didn't have their leader in their midst. And they didn't have enough faith to stand there, to be there, to dwell there without him for 40 days. When 40 days passed by, they said, we don't know what's become of this Moses guy. They separated themselves from him. They had lost all respect for him. We don't know what's become of this Moses guy. And we need you to build us something we can worship. You know what they were doing? They was defaulting to their last lowest place they had been. If we don't ascend, we will descend. If we don't go high, we will be brought low. Because there's just a natural weight of the human soul. Listen to me again. Our soul is earthly, and it's heavy, and it pulls us down. It just has a natural inclination to draw us down. The reason we can't fly, gravity. Your human soul resists ascending. We come here and we break through. The Spirit of God dwells in us. As long as I feed the Spirit with spiritual things, I can rise. But when I starve it, and I don't feed it spiritual things, but I feed it earthly things, I don't rise very well. Because the human soul has a gravitational, natural pull that pulls us down. Some people, it seems, and I'm not really able to put a percentage on this, but there are just some people that only make it during struggles and crisis. Right. If there's no trouble in their life, it's like they really can't be consistent with God. Something's got to be burning down, it seems like, before they can get to God. But we must learn to draw near to God on level ground.
Yes.
Live for Him consistently. And when the wind isn't blowing and the fire isn't falling, we must survive on our passion and our love for God. We must build into ourselves that desire just to serve Him no matter what. Jesus said, an adulterous generation looks for a sign. Think about that just a minute now. That's kind of an important part of my message. He said, an adulterous generation needs a sign. They need a fix. Show us a trick. Show us a miracle. Let us see something. Why? Because there's nothing going on in the relationship, and so they need Him to perform a magic trick to make them applaud and say, now that's something we can believe in. Friend, you get a guy that can work in the gifts, and God can use him in healings and prophecies, and he'll get a crowd. He can fill up a stadium if he can have signs and wonders. They will come from near and far. Remember years ago when this weirdo was here preaching and throwing oil on people, and they interviewed a man here from Seattle, Washington, just because he thought his daughter could be healed. And the media interviewed him and said, do you really think she's going to be healed? He goes, yes, God uses that man. Signs and wonders. And I was thinking, Seattle, Washington, I believe there's some churches there that believe the truth and the power of the healing nature of God. But he flew all the way here, took 5 days off. And they said, well, when are you going to go up there with her? He goes, you have to wait for him to announce that he's praying for children. If he's not, then I can't do anything about it. And he spent 5 days and they never prayed for children. So he had to board the plane and go home. Daughter with a stomach disease that they couldn't heal. The doctors couldn't heal her. But he spent an airline ticket because signs and wonders. It would be a cruel God that would have healing that you had to go across a country to access.
Right.
But see, the attraction to that is what I'm getting at. The attraction is people that don't understand growing in the Lord levels. They don't understand it. Give me a hit over here. Just give me a snack. Give me a drink. Just give me a cookie. Give me some cake. I just need something for my spiritual sweet tooth. Really, what we do in the presence of God, and this is my closing. What we do in the presence of God has much to do with where we are when we leave here. That's where I establish what I want to do and what I'm going to be. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face. With 2 he covered his feet. And with 2 he flew. And one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Then he said, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke, or you could say with presence. It was always indicative of the presence of God. Something happened in the presence of God. The seraphim, the angelic beings, were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Do you see what I'm saying here? He's in the presence where there's smoke, but the angel says, just so you know, the whole earth is full of his glory. All he needs is somebody to demonstrate their faith in a God and say, I believe he's real. I believe he's lifting me up. I believe I'm going to live for him. I believe he's going to take care of my problem. I believe that my God reigns on high. I believe he's going to bless me and answer my prayers. I believe the whole earth, church, is full of his glory. Could we stand? God moved mightily here last week. I found that out. People told me. You thought that was going to be a secret, but somebody told me it was great. I appreciate everyone taking care of the service. Brother Keith letting God use him as he always does. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to call Keith and have him take care of the service. I said, I believe and I know right now that God's going to do something great. I said, because he knows how to follow the will of God. All of our ministers do. But I knew that for last week that was his and God was going to use him. See, the main thing is we don't let that presence go to waste. If he moves, there's a reason. If I'm sensitive to God, or we're sensitive to God, the God that moves, then he must move me too, and he must move you too if we're sensitive to that. But the thing I want you to understand at the very end here is the difference in your life today comes down to, what will you do when the doorposts are moving? What do you do when the angels are here, when the presence are here, when the presence of God is moving? I don't want to lose this opportunity today. I don't want to say, God, church was great. What time is it? I want to say, Lord, the time's not important. Your will is important. Your presence is important. Think about it. What are the mechanics of another level? What does it take to go to another level? It's simply this right here. Not difficult. It's simply this. Every level that we're ever at is knowing something that you've forgotten before or didn't know. It's knowing something about God. Knowing something about God. and then climbing up to that level of that knowledge and saying, now I'm going to walk in my knowledge of what I've learned about God. I'm going to live in that knowledge of what I know about God. I believe some of you have succumbed to a half-off sticker that the enemy put on the back of your head and marked you down. And said, no, you see, you don't, or you haven't, or you didn't. And he'll bring up something from the past and erase the knowledge of his glory and his saving grace. And you go, well, I could, but, you know, I've got this situation. Yeah. It's what you know. It's going to lift you up. Would like for us to gather to the front, but don't just come here to say, well, we're about to end the service. I want you to come here with a brand new understanding of who He is and say, God, I realize today that if I can believe and trust that You're raising me up, then I'm being raised up. To do what? To do great works for God? To reach out to anything I need and trust Him to do it for me? Amen. To lay my hands on somebody and know, not hope and wonder, but to lay my hand and say, Lord, I know You're going to touch them. I know, God, that I can listen to the doctors and I can say, well, I just got to accept it. Or I can say, no, I'm accepting knowledge that I'm being raised up to another level. I'm not going to go back to where I was, but I'm going to learn to abide here in this place and not slip back down. A new level. A new level. Another walk with God. See, I don't want to drop down to last week's level. Each level has a purpose. I need this new level. And only God may know why I need it. I may not even understand it. But though the fig tree blossom, He said, though the fig tree blossoms, can you deal with the fruitless tree season? It's all about levels. Can you dwell on a level? I've been here before. You know I've talked about this. For several months, span through my favorite time of year, youth camps and camp meetings. But at a rally that we had before my youth camp, the preacher preached, Brother Curtis Spears preached a message. And in the message he said, there's going to be seasons in your life where you're going to feel like God has just put His hand over you and you can't feel the wind blowing, you can't feel His presence. He said, what God is doing is trusting you to worship Him without the emotion, without the feeling. And you know what I thought? I thought, not me. Because I'll tell you what, when I worship God, I feel His presence. I enjoyed it. I look forward to it. And I entered into a season, 15 years old, I entered into a season, and there I was at the most favorite time of the year, youth camp, Brother Merle Ewing preaching, seemed like an hour and a half every night, singing. Oh, I loved it. I was the amen guy, man, sat next to a man that I still know, he's a pastor, and we sat there, and man, we were trying to outdo each other with our amens. I felt nothing the whole week. Saw miracles, signs and wonders, felt nothing. You know what I stood on? Would you venture a guess of what in the world I could stand on? I went back to the Trinity High School auditorium, to that youth service, and I stood on the Word of God that was preached to me. And I raised my hands in that service and I worshiped like I was feeling it all. I talked to God like it was the greatest thing ever because I had a word I could stand on. And God raised me up to another level. It's a level where, oh, it's all about emotion. No, God said you can go up to a higher place and there's not a bit of emotion, but you got to walk through it by faith. That has carried me through a lot of dark times. That has carried me through a lot of cave dwellings. That's carried me through some pits and some valleys because I've had to go there before time and time again where I could not feel God, but I had to preach to you and I had to say believe in God. I had to say trust in God, and I couldn't see anything, any proof. I didn't feel him. I didn't see him, but I had to stand there knowing I've been there before. I've got a new level. Oh, let's let him lift us here, church. Let God lift you to a new level.